Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
For any of the listeners, you've actually heard Chansu on the podcast before because I ripped our conversation from my other podcast that I don't do anymore and put it up here because, well, it was two birds, one stone and it was just such a great ep. I was like, oh, the Irish people need to hear this. I need to stop smoking weed before 25.
That's true. That's what we were talking about. Yeah.
And then how do you pronounce your last name?
Karabik.
And then for the listeners... well, we'll do it at the end, actually, because I want you to spell your name.
I
don't want them to not find you, but we'll also have it in the description. So, dope. But let's see, for today, you were saying you read an article about the ick, which we love saying in Ireland.
Yeah, really?
We always say that we got the ick.
Oh my God. Yesterday I was watching Dairy Girls, right? And I found that article where they break down some of the words and the phrases. And I was like, because that was in the first scene, they said, she said, "You're such a mouth," and I was like, what does that mean? So I had to Google it. There was like a whole list of things they say on the show.
I found out
what a mouth is. But the ick was there too.
Yeah, well,
I saw it.
Yeah. When Chansu, I always find weird when I'm saying that because it's as if I'm turning to an audience, but it's like you guys aren't here yet. But anyway, when Chansu texted me that, we had just been talking about a comedian earlier, and I was like, oh, that comedian is a mouth. And it's like, that's the perfect way to explain it, especially when I'm trying to explain Irish slang over here. If there's anyone that I'm like, oh, like, yeah, like that person,
right.
Or, you know, but we have a lot of fun slang, like minger is ugly.
Minger?
Yeah, but I don't think the Gen Z, if there's any Gen Z listen to this, they're going to be like, oh, she's so old. We don't say it anymore.
Yeah, also you've been gone for a while. I'm sure slang has changed a lot since you've been gone.
I know, isn't that wild?
Yeah. I find that every time I go back to Denmark, like, wait, you say what now? That sounds weird to me. But that's just how language evolves, I guess.
Know. You know what? Even with stuff like, I went back a few years ago and I was wearing Jordans and that's like all, you know, the style over here. I mean, I was wearing them, I just really liked the pretty colours. It was before I realised it was stylish. And then all like male comedians are like, oh my God, I just didn't know you were like into sneakers. And then the praise just like, it got me like addicted. But so I went back with mine and my sister was like slagging me and my, like, everybody was laughing at me wearing these Jordans. And so this is a few years ago. And now like my brother's texting me being like, hey, could you pick me up Air Jordan Force or whatever Jordan. They're actual Jordans, not like at home everybody wore those white.
The Air Max.
The Air Force ones.
Okay.
But like the proper Jordans, you know, they're like really stylish ones. So anyway, he was like, yeah, will you pick me up a pair and bring them back? And I just thought that was so funny because I was like, they were fucking slagging me. Like I was actually a trendsetter.
You were a trendsetter
for Ireland.
So it means Ireland is just like 15 years behind with everything.
Ireland is with stuff, I find anyway, because like, and we do watch America and we do pick it up and slowly, but and that's where the disconnect comes with Irish Americans. And if for any of you listening, don't get mad, love yous loads, not gatekeeping, but but you know, sometimes they've capsulized an old Irish, but they don't realize we've also moved on, so we're like a bit more modern than the Irish that they remember, but we're still not as modern as the Americans over here sometimes with certain things, you know.
I think you get that all over Europe, with American culture being so influential everywhere.
So influential.
And so by the time something here is like no longer popular, it's just reached our countries, right? It's just, I feel like that's been generally the case both in the UK or in Portugal or in Denmark, like these countries I lived in. It's always been the case.
I love when I'm like, when I ask an American about like a UK singer, like obviously I understand that a lot of time there's so many amazing Irish singers that they just wouldn't have reached over here, and then some of them have, which is absolutely amazing.
Who's an Irish singer I would know?
A Hozier.
Oh yeah.
Two-door Cinema Club. Yeah. Obviously the Cranberries, U2, all of those. But like, let's see, more newer. It just went out of my head. Oh, Bastille.
Okay.
What and they made it over here a little bit. I don't know. Just like running music or something, okay. You know, like movie music.
I knew a boy band when I was growing up that I really liked.
Oh, Westlife. Blue. Oh, Blue.
Yeah.
Oh, I my loved God.
They were Irish, right?
Blue.
When that I was a kid, it all so sounded familiar. The same to me.
I think they were Irish. I have no idea now, to be honest.
Oh, Westlife was Irish?
Westlife, yeah. And so when I'm here and I'm like, oh, you guys don't know Robbie. And it's like, oh, Robbie Williams didn't make it over here. Or All Saints didn't make it over here. And I'm like, you got to listen to this, you know.
Robbie Williams didn't make it out here.
Didn't make it over here. You know, what? Anytime I'm asked in America. And I'm like, you have missed out on this amazing.
Oh my God, he's such an icon in Europe.
Such an icon. He was like,
the fact that I know about him in Denmark is, yeah. That's crazy.
I saw him live, but my dad got like kind of cheap tickets, but it was great he got tickets at all. Do you know, like, in fairness to the man, it's not like he was made of money. But then we were like, all the pictures from when I, no, I don't have, I don't know where they are now. I think they were like in my grandmother's house, but the pictures I'd taken were just from the screen because we were so far back. But it was a great day. And like, in fairness, it was great to even get to go at all.
Yeah. And even though you don't see them actually on stage and their performance, just the concert vibe. Energy is different, right?
It's and I can so say cool. I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he brought us to loads of, when I was small, he would always bring me and my stepmom's nieces and nephews, all like a gang, or my cousin on my mum's side as well, because I was always very close with her, so he'd bring her as well, and he'd always have like a little fun day out and go to these. We saw like, remember, what's his name, Tom Jones? Was he American?
I think so.
He was all the rage in Ireland and women throwing their underwear up at him.
Really? Yeah. Tom Jones? Wait, is he like a country singer?
It's like a kind of country, but it's like kind of like slutty a little for older women. I don't know. But yeah, so it is.
So in the UK, I had this, where I lived in Cambridge, there was this older woman in our lab. She was such a fan of Bruce Springsteen. It's just like, wow, that's such a generational gap for me. Like, no one is a fan of... Is anyone our generation
no.
fan of Bruce Springsteen?
I went to his concert when I was 16 because, again, my dad would always go to concerts and my uncle, and they got me a ticket, but I truly didn't know any of his. And I remember being like, I really should have listened to some of his songs before.
It was so... Also, last like summer, two. Do you remember in New York they had the Welcome Back New York concert in Central Park?
No.
So I had just moved here. And they had this big concert and it was free. It was like after the vaccines, it was like 70% of New Yorkers had been vaccinated. So like, yeah, let's celebrate. We're back. So they had this big concert in Central Park and there was all these New York native musicians, a lot of rappers, a lot of like rock singers. And Bruce Springsteen was supposed to headline it. And then there was a big thunderstorm and they evacuated us from Central Park. It was tens of thousands of people being evacuated because of like the torrential rainstorm, but there was this, it was just so sad throughout the concert. So during the whole day the weather was really nice and all the people like us who were just like standing around like hanging out, and there was just this one couple sitting in front of me, older couple, they were just sat down on a picnic blanket the whole time, and I started chatting to them and they were like, yeah, we're just here for Bruce Springsteen. And just before Bruce Springsteen was supposed to go up, thunderstorm started and we all
so for them, especially because they're old people, they're risking their lives coming out there.
Yeah, that was, I mean, like they COVID were sitting times. There listening to, I don't know, like LL Cool J and but like I'm pretty sure they didn't want that.
Oh, you know what as well, when you said Dairy Girls, a talk came up in my head, but I was like, I'll hold it. It is interesting with Dairy Girls and normal people, how Americans are now finally like seeing like the real Ireland to a certain. I mean, Dairy Girls is from like 20, like it's set 20 years ago, but they're like, oh, I didn't know about those like those little like political like, I mean, they knew a little bit, but they're getting to see that. Or even now with normal people, it's like regular kids in school, or it's just interesting because we grew up on their TV shows and now they're starting to kind of watch ours. Like for me anyway, for Irish people, because they've never watched, I don't think they've ever watched, or even the things that they would have said about Ireland. I feel like most people have now like watched Dairy Girls, or even though Dairy Girls is set a while ago, they're seeing, yes, I do have electricity, or you know, like the whatever ridiculous notion they had of Ireland, especially with normal people. Like I just thought of that, like that's the or reading Sally Rooney books or whatever. Mm. Or yeah, it's just like, oh wow, they're starting to get see a bit of Irish culture.
Yeah.
Or even with Denmark, when you think about those Netflix now, because there's a lot of Danish true crime.
Oh, crime fiction.
Or not true crime, sorry, crime fiction.
Crime fiction.
It's just
Denmark
interesting.
Has always been very good. I think Denmark has generally been good at crime fiction. Yeah. They've had really solid authors that were like international.
Is the girl with the dragon tattoo?
Swedish.
Oh, yeah. God.
But in that genre, there's been quite a lot. But yeah, but I don't think necessarily that reflects, you know, it tells you nothing about Denmark, right? Really.
I mean, for me, and it just shows that we're not just all like diddly eye, diddly o, and oh, top of the morning, oh, father,
top
you
of
know,
the morning.
Or there's the priest. It shows that they're just regular people living regular lives.
Yeah.
They go, but yeah, it just came into my head.
Oh,
that
there's
was like,
a show on television called on Netflix called Rita. And it's so funny, this friend of mine who's from Kansas City was telling me that he's watching Rita. And I was like, wait, Rita? Like the Danish television series? But I didn't know it was on Netflix. And it's so good. But that really is, that's such a good show for like knowing, wait, what is Denmark actually like? Like the school system, it takes place in a school. And it's about this like very sexual teacher who is just like, gives fuck all, you know, and does fuck all, and it's just a really good teacher, but it's just a really interesting person. But no, that's yeah, like these shows would have never been popular what 15-20 years ago.
They wouldn't
right?
even had access to them, I guess.
Absolutely.
Because of Netflix,
I guess the streaming services have enabled some of that,
where we always watch their shows because they would come on. Like we had, I remember growing up and I'd have RT1, RT2, or no, TV Tree and Tina G. Kaher. So that's,
I don't know what those words are.
That's a different language I just said. Okay. I was Irish.
Was it
you were like, what is this English word she's saying heavily accented?
What is that mumble?
It's like it was like the fourth channel, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
And that was all in Irish. That was all Askelga. And, you know, they just have like this one shows for kids. And then at night they'd have like certain shows in Irish. Okay. But yeah, to keep like trying to preserve a bit of the Irish speaking, I guess, and culture. But
yeah.
Then the other three channels would have like a rotation of like Friends.
Mm.
Or like...
Friends was such a thing also in Denmark.
Like,
we
that
all
hit
watched
everywhere.
It. That everywhere.
I remember seeing, then the documentary, and they interviewed so many people all over the world who were like, yeah, I learned English from Friends. Or
same.
I like, you know, I didn't have, like, I you know, or like... people in different countries. I remember there was an interview with one girl and she's like, yeah, I didn't grow up with Friends. It was so nice to have this show. Like, it's like she physically didn't have friends. She was like lonesome.
Right.
But I was
that.
Like, oh my God, this is even a person in America. This isn't a different. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's so funny that it was such a unifying thing, right? Yeah. It was that and ER.
Eeyore. I loved Eeyore.
It was so good. And then
so
what else
good.
Was it? Letterman was always on TV growing up. Like there was a Comedy Central channel in Denmark.
Oh, we ended up when you could buy cable then. Like I just didn't have it when I was younger. But then when you could, you'd have Comedy Central and Sky One. So we'd get all the Brit stuff and BBC and Channel 4. But you'd have to buy the like dish. Or
right.
The, yeah. So, but yeah, Comedy Central. I remember like.
But this wasn't like the American comedy. It was, I called it Comedy Central. Sorry, ours was just like a comedy channel, and it would show Letterman on at like late night. And that was, so we wouldn't have the channels, like the British channels or American channels. It was just randomly Letterman, like midnight.
Yeah, no, I don't remember ever seeing Letterman, but maybe I would just flick past it. I remember seeing like, we
I
had this
it.
Like weird channel that had like Euro, it was called like Euro porn or something. It was very strange.
It's a porn channel?
Yeah, it would turn into porn at nighttime. So it would, I can't remember it. Long God, the listeners are gonna message me because they'll know the channel. And at nighttime it would turn into this, and it would always be like, it was called like some sort of Euro porn. I'm like, I'm afraid now maybe that it's like something offensive, but it was basically porn where they would blur it out. And you know, your parents,
unless you paid for it or what, or like just
after
midnight.
I don't know what it was, just on one of the channels, and it'd be always like, don't watch that channel after 10.
We did have a couple of those, but it was like, I think you paid for those, or maybe it was like after midnight, I don't know. But I remember they were blue during the day, and then like the whole screen would be blue, but we know that was like the nasty channel, like that.
For some reason, I'm feeling like this was on the Comedy Central channel, but that doesn't make any sense. That can't be right.
Who knows?
And then...
those comedians, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I need them for the laugh or the entertainment. But and then like you would have your shows, so there'd be Home and Away, Neighbours. Did you watch that?
No.
That was like a big one. And then there'd be the UK, like, you know, like Hollyoaks. I think Coronation Street, EastEnders. There are all these ones that you could watch daily.
Coronation Street is that old?
Oh, Coronation Street is like before the like 70s.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure one of the characters on it who was up like an old woman when I was watching it, she had been in it since a young woman.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then at nighttime it would go like, there was like this channel that would have, there was like the panel, the comedy channels, the Irish comedy stuff. But then there'd be like, what's his name? Oh, these two Muppets, and they would tell like scary bedtime. Podge and Raj. Did you ever see Podge and Raj?
One of them's name is Raj?
Yeah. And they were like Irish puppets, but they'd tell like terrifying stories. And I remember one was like, it was like nightmare bedtime stories or something. But there was one about like how they told a story about how a guy couldn't get like a voice out of his head, so he like drilled into his head and like died because his brains fell out.
This was for children?
No, I just would watch. Nobody was minding me. I was like watching this at like 11 p.m.
Actually, yeah, pretty much the same here.
Yeah, you just go back downstairs and turn on the TV.
I was reading stuff that I absolutely should not have been reading because my parents didn't like read. Like, they didn't. They weren't fluent in Danish because, you know, they're from Turkey, and they wouldn't go through my books and see what I would like get from the library. And that was definitely stuff that a 7-8-year-old should not be reading.
Was it like sexy stuff?
It wasn't sexy stuff. It was like very real. Yeah. Like, I remember reading this story about a girl, and it was like a true crime kind of novel. True crime story about a girl that gets raped by her dad, and then has to bring up these twins that, you know, that she then has to like raise. And I was reading this book as like a 7-year-old. And another time where I was reading
They were her father's kids. She gave birth to her half brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Too intense to be reading
for a 7-8-year-old. Once I was reading this story about what's that story called? Live Strong, Die Young, or something like that, by Willard Motley. Some American. It was a really good book when I was that age, but it's about a guy that he prostitutes himself at some point in the story, and the word for it in the Danish translation was trækkertræng, and I was like, I don't know what that word means because I was only 8 years old, so I had to look it up in a dictionary, and I was horrified.
What does it mean?
It's a prostitute boy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else happened.
No. Oh, yeah. Like, at 7-8 years old, I didn't know what a prostitute was. And it was like someone who has sex with for money. And I was like horrified to find out that was a thing you did.
I love how you got such an education so early you're just trying to like, you're being a smart kid by reading adult books.
Yeah. Because I was a big reader, so I outgrew the children's section really fast. And my teachers also didn't care. Like, the librarian was never like, I don't think this book is for you.
They probably just weren't even paying attention. They're like, yeah.
Because I spent so much time at the library. I was like a real dork. So, we've gone on so many tangents.
We have.
Sorry, I might be doing that. I don't know.
No, it's fine. I do that all the time as well.
We're talking about the ick factor. That's where it all started.
It was. I love how you're like, you're being a better podcast host than me. Like, let's bring it back, Katie. No, it's true though. So I didn't read the article because you just brought it up before. But so what did it say in there? You had never heard of the ick.
I had never
Who
heard about
it. Who sent it to you, the article?
A friend of mine from, she's South Africa and lives in the UK. We did our degrees together. But we were talking about how... I was telling her about the situation I'm in with a guy where I just, like, he's pursuing me, but I am so unattracted to him.
Yeah.
But to a point where it's not just like, because we used to be friends, and I'm like, I'm not just not attracted to you. I am put off by you.
Yeah.
And there was, I don't know what it was. It was like a switch. And then all of a sudden I was like, I can't do this. Like, it was just like so intensely something that put me off.
But was there a moment where you felt attracted and then you got the ick?
I don't think I was ever attracted. I think it was more like we were friends.
Yeah. But now you don't even want to be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I guess the ick can be used in like so many different ways. Because for me, it's usually, I tell you depend how you use it in one situation. So, but in dating terms, it's like you could be going on 3 dates with someone and then you see the way they eat their food and you get the ick. Yeah. You're like, I can't.
Well,
have,
that
can't
was, that's what this article was saying. It's an article in The Guardian, and it was telling stories about like what moment women were like I saw his ass crack or whatever, like that was like the ick, or it was like some funny things like for a man it was she pulled her mask down to kiss me instead of taking it off, and that was it. Like, it's so hard to come back from the ick, right?
It's so hard, and it can happen as simple as that. It really can.
It's so random.
It can be something like as well, like I got the ick so easily a lot. I'm trying to think what's a good example because I haven't had it in so long, but
yeah the article was hilarious because I was like reading all about it and it was not something that I was familiar with, but it does seem like it could just happen, right?
Or when you see someone be rude to someone, that gives me the ick. Or I've gotten the ick when I've brought someone out to my friends and they're like being like showy offy and loud and like, or you know who I got the ick with? So when I first got here, and like we've been friends for like god knows, I've known him for 7.5 years nearly, or 7 years let's say, because I just started comedy, and he asked me on a date. Of course he did. Now we ended up being friends afterwards.
Oh, wow.
But that night I got the I know. I don't even know if I've told some of her other friends because you know, but obviously that happened way before. But so we go on the date, and I had, at the time I was a big drinker. I've been a big drinker since I was 13, except for the last 5 years. And so I had 2 drinks. So I was going about to have our third, and he was so fucking drunk off 2 drinks. It turned me off so much. And then he like grabbed like, you know the way, and he's kind of like, for the listeners, this person's already a very extrovert and like loud and like, what's that word, like showman-y. And he like interrupted these guys playing pool to like grab their ball, one of the balls off the table, and he thought it was so funny, but he just like ruined their game, and he was like waving at me, and they were like looking at him like, oh my god, like what a fucking loser.
Wow.
And it gave me such the ick. And then later we were walking back and he was like, I just want to have something casual, I'm not looking for a relationship. And I was like, yeah that's fine, I don't do casual, so we'll just be friends. I've already gotten the ick. But he was like literally falling on. I hate that too as well, because I guess for me a big thing is I like to know that the person can like take care of me, and I know that's awful, but I don't want them to get too drunk where they're messy and falling over the place, because I don't want to be the one fucking picking them up or trying to wind them.
I think that's fair. Like that's I don't know, it's never nice to see anyone in that state. I don't know, unless it's someone like, if it's your friend or someone you're close to, it's completely different, right? But if it's some guy that's courting you, it's kind of weird.
And two drinks. He could never last with my people.
Like, I'm never bringing you home to my dad.
No, and my dad doesn't even drink that much as well, but he'd be mortified, because he would, especially if you brought someone back, like even when Leland came back.
To be fair, you were both young. No?
We were both young.
At the time?
Yeah, so I was 24. He would have been 24 too. Yeah, but we're drinking in Ireland since we're 13. So that's it. I honestly, when I first came here, I found it a bit embarrassing for Americans, because I was like, they're falling all over the gaff here and they don't know how to hold their liquor. And it's like, of course, they start drinking at 21. We have like built up such a tolerance.
Absolutely.
But then the reverse is, I think Irish people do find it hard drinking here because the measures are so big. So if you're like drinking beer, you're fine. But the liquor measures are so much bigger than back home.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
But anyways, that was an ick. What about you?
So I had one situation. I was remembering as you were talking about that date. I went on a date with someone. We sat down at a bar. It was really lovely at first. He seemed super chill, you know, like very, very friendly. It was a good vibe. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can see on a guy when he starts liking you. You can sort of see how his like demeanor changes, how his looks change. And it's like, I don't know whether they're just, some of these guys are just so basic, like they can't control it. I don't know what it is. But you can sort of tell when they start finding, like being attracted to you.
Yeah, like, when they're like eyes, there's like a fawn look. Like
It sort of changes during the date. And all of a sudden, he started putting on, like he was already speaking with a British accent. But it became so posh, and I immediately just like checked out.
I mean, I would get the
ick. I got the ick so quickly because I was just like, why is he trying to sound posh all of a sudden? They're like, that's not nice at all.
No, that's not what we want. No, don't, because I associate posh, and no offense to anyone who is posh, and I'm sure you're personally not like this, but I do associate posh with like pretentiousness and obnoxiousness.
Yes.
So I'm like, I will never date someone with a posh
also
accent.
He said he would, so he, in the past. Okay, he grew up, this guy did not grow up in the UK, which is what I realized. I was like, what happened to your accent and why are you using some of these words that no one in the UK uses? Because I lived in the UK for like 7 years, right? 6 years. And he would start using these words, and it's because he went to a British army school.
Oh, so he picked up the accent.
He picked up the accent, but not just the accent. He was like, his teachers were like nuns and stuff. So he picked up the way people spoke like 100 years ago.
Oh, like the old school, isn't it, like Shakespearean level?
It was so cringy.
Thou shall have dessert. I did a show the other night. And remind me to tell you, because I have another ick with a British accent. Okay. But I did a show the other night, and I was running my album, and there was an English woman in the audience, and I was going to do my like silly UK, you know, joke, and she said, "I'm from Britain," and she said something else, and I was like, why is it that every posh British person has to pronounce every fucking letter? Like, it takes them an hour to get out a sentence because they're like, the wall is very cold. You're like, get your sentence out. It's like they're literally spelling it for you, like T-H-E-C-O-L.
I've never thought of that. So I was just around so many posh people, right? I was at a university that was incredibly posh. I just, because I was around so many really posh people, yeah. It kind of gives me the ick now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like just that accent.
It's also like such an Irish thing to be icked out by a very British accent.
Oh my God, I love that in the Dairy Girls that...
He's like, just English.
Like, what's that noise? He's just English. They sound like that.
Yeah, that's always such a punchline in like a lot of our old shows as well, like having an English character. Just like,
so funny.
I had another comedian actually want to like go on a date with me, and I was like, oh, he seems nice. And this is like in the pandemic, so it's like way before Leland, but obviously, no, this was during my relationship with Leland. But I mean, it was like a good bit before. And he was kind of like, asked for my phone number, and he wanted to do a phone call. And I told one guy friend, because I wanted to like suss out, is this guy good? And that guy friend was like, oh, he's great. Which I've turned out this guy friend has the worst taste in friends, because some of his friends are just shit. And then one other girlfriend, and she was like, actually, he has a bad reputation. He actually like was real shit. I can't say who, but to a friend of mine. And in hindsight, that friend ended up telling me like 2 years later, we were sitting down having like tea inside the cellar, and she was like, did I ever tell you what such and such? And I was like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't go on a date with this guy. Wow. But so I just was like, okay, now I was trying to learn my lesson from past relationships and be icked out by any like red flags. So I was like, that's a red flag, I'm not gonna go there. But he kept being like, I'm just gonna come to your work, like, and I was like, well, I'm actually like busy, and I was working at the bar in the pandemic still. And he knew that I'd already told him I worked Fridays and Sundays, and so he texts me on the Friday being like, hey, I just got off the 7, I'm walking over to your job, it was like on my way or something, which is like, and I was like, oh no, I don't want this. But when he came, and it was more just because I didn't want to get involved with someone who has like a bad reputation of treating women, so I hadn't gotten the proper ick yet. But when I got it was when he came, he put on a British accent the whole time, and I was like,
why?
But he's American, so I don't know if he was like trying to be sexy and do this, but it was the most bizarre thing. Also, why would you ever think that would be attractive to an Irish woman,
right?
So, and then I was like, maybe he doesn't know Irish accents and he's trying to do my accent.
Was he
to
trying
be,
to be like cute and stuff, or was that what it was? Or
I don't, maybe I just, that's didn't, so I didn't weird. Get it. And then like my only other logical thing is that he thinks that's an Irish accent, and he's trying to like be like funny or whatever. But it was like the whole time he was there, and he like ordered a beer, he was like oh, looking at the pretzels, and he was like, can I have a pretzel? And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Sounds like he was trying to like do your accent
but just came out British. And it's also like, I hate that. Don't fucking, I'm not here to have a conversation with a parrot.
Oh my God, can I say something? Like, this is really dumb, but I remember when I first started meeting Irish people in the UK at university, and I'd be like, wait, what is that accent? They'd be like, they would tell me we're from Ireland. It's like, oh wow, that sounds like an American trying to speak with an English accent.
Oh, I remember you telling me that. That's probably what it was.
That's probably what it was.
And it's like, never do someone's, like, if you're pursuing someone, never do their accent for the whole time you're talking, right, as well. Fair, yeah, enough if you're like, oh, that's so cute, tree or whatever, and it's kind of annoying, but whatever, yeah, we'll give you a slide. But he, I mean, the whole time when he ordered the beer,
that's so weird.
And then I was like, I just wanted him gone, so I was like, it's fine, the beer's on me and the pretzel's on me. And he was like, all right, okay. It was definitely like,
gosh.
Anyway, he didn't tip, which it's like, we're not on a date, you just came, so he just came to my bar, had a beer, had a free pretzel, and didn't even tip. And it's like, if my friends ever tip, I always like make sure I'm like, no, take the money back, you can buy me a coffee sometime, because it's like, no, it's here, I'm gonna, right, use my beer, my buyback to get you a beer or whatever. Yeah. But that, I was like, that gave me a double ick. I was like, okay, ew with the accent, and ew with the fucking cheapness, you cheap cunt. So I, yeah, hate cheapness. Makes me,
cheapness is so icky.
Spit the check on the, so on the first, and like, I've had a guy message into the podcast and be like, I don't think like we should pay for the first dinner. And it's like, yeah, if I don't want to see you again, I'll split the check. But if you want to, I want to say that you're A, a gentleman, and B, I still have to pay for all like period shit and everything. So no, you can, I'm risking my life by being here, so I'll put down my card. But if they're like, this is on me, and even like, okay, I'll get the next one or whatever. If you want to continue to see me, I need to know that you're, it shows that you're like kind and generous with your money. And
I get that. It's shows that you're someone that likes taking care of people. And I think we've talked about this before as well, just knowing that someone wants to do that for,
yeah,
you. It's not so much about, oh, are they paying for an expensive meal or something like that, right? It's more,
it could be like, you brought me for a coffee.
Absolutely. And I personally, I don't even reach for my card anymore, right, unless I don't want to see them again.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, yeah, I don't want to owe you anything.
Yeah, I've always, if I didn't want to see them again, insisted on spinning the check.
Occasionally, if I never wanted to see a person again and I had such a bad time at the date, I'm like, all right, this meal is my payback for this horrible time.
Yeah. Wait, I just thought of another ick. I don't know how you just made me think. Now I'm getting like traumatized with all my icks. You better have more icks as well.
Oh my God.
Well, okay. I was seeing a guy 2 months online, 3 months in real life, because it was from the pandemic, and old listeners know him as Blurry, because for the first few face times he was like blurry, so I couldn't really see what he looked like. It was very strange, because, okay, I guess he had bad signal. But when I got turned off him, was he came over, and it was to have sex. He came over, but he had done like a foot peel himself at home, so he wore like big thick woolly socks. He said he had to keep them on because their skin was shedding underneath.
Oh.
And I was like, no, it's over, it's done, we're not gonna be going forward with this. It gave me such an ick.
Oh.
And then I don't like when men leave their socks on as well for sex. I don't know why, but that's not too much of an ick. It was more that they were big woolly and I knew that there was dead skin in it.
That is so gross.
I know.
That's so gross.
What about you? Any more icks?
Any more icks? Yeah, I actually tend to tell this story on my comedy shows. Well, I went on a date with someone and he asked me what I missed the most about Europe. And I said, socialism.
Oh, yeah.
And I meant that. Like, I actually said that. And then, you know, we had a whole conversation. He was like, he laughed at that. And then he started challenging me on socialism. He was like, I don't believe in free education or free healthcare, but I do believe in equal opportunity for all. I was like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I was so upset. I had like my arms crossed and I was like not responding to him at all, because I just could not compute. My brain just could not compute how a person could think that you can have equal opportunity without free education.
I mean, he needs some fucking free education.
Yeah, this was a highly educated person. Jesus. It's a super privileged person who thinks that there are equal opportunities out there for, yeah, people, but not acknowledging that, you know, some people can't even afford healthcare or like basic education, right? And but they have the same opportunities as you do. I thought that was so ignorant, and it was so off. That was like a big ick. And I, yeah, discovered that day was like, your political stances can be really icky really fast.
Of course. And yeah. I mean, if you're going to be in a long-term relationship with someone, even if you're going to be in a casual where you're going to have actual conversations,
yeah,
you're going to have to, because even with that just shows a lack of empathy, because he's not able to put himself into,
absolutely,
other people's shoes.
Absolutely.
And it's like, even and that, like, if he's just like, well, I got this, the fact that he can't, he would never be able to understand that. He wouldn't even be able to understand you probably having cramps then. Cause it's like, what are you talking about? I never feel pain once
right.
a month.
Yeah. Like, we have equal opportunities. You go to work, I go to work. That's true. It's so apathetic towards people who just do not have opportunities, right? It was so off-putting. And I remember like leaving the state as well. He was like, do you want to go to a bar? And I was just like so off-put by him. I was just like, no, I'm going to go home. And he was like, I'll follow you to the train. I was like, no. I'm just going to go home. And he still like leaned in for the kiss. And I was like, bye.
I mean, he leaned in for like
read
delusional.
The room.
Yeah.
Delusional beyond. Delusional. Oh my god, that was it was so icky.
I had another guy where he had a really bad education because he grew up in the south, and he did say this. So his parents were immigrants, and they came over. He's put in a Christian school, and so he said about all the things that they would teach, which I never that blew my mind. And I said this on a very old episode of the podcast, so. OG listener, sorry for repetition, but you know, let's do this as like a nostalgia bit. But they, you know, that the dinosaurs are chicken bones, that blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. It was such an interesting conversation, like I had no idea. And he was like, yeah, and he was like, and, you know, but I really really like the whole South gentleman, like I like, you know, like saying ma'am and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then later he like told me, well, later he just grabbed my head and tried to kiss me, and I pushed him off me. And I was like, whoa, I'm not ready for that. And then he was like, all right, okay. And then the next day he called me about like potentially going on another date. And I was like, I don't know. There was just something weird about him. And he said, he started to tell me a story about how he didn't, you know, because he was like saying like, oh, it's okay that we didn't kiss. You know, I waited 2 years for a girl in where he was also like in the army, so where he was stationed, he'd waited 2 years for that girl because she was Christian and she wanted a way to have sex before marriage, but she actually dumped him before and ended up marrying a different guy, so he didn't have sex for 2 years. And I was like, oh my god, that's so awful. And he was like, yeah, and then this other girl one night was like trying to get me to go across town for her, but I didn't go across town for her because she was just a hole in two legs. That's what he said. And that was like where I was like, oh, like this is like done. Oh. See you later. So like the head thing and the, and I also didn't like the whole glorifying of like Southern men. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's, no. I don't really want someone being like, ma'am. And then later you're talking about being a gentleman on the date, but then later you grab my head. So that's a contradiction already. And then you're calling a woman Two legs in a hole. Yeah. And I thought, just because when he first talked about like his parents being immigrant and this weird Christian and like, oh, so I was like, oh yeah. And then it just fucking nosedived to a totally different fucking person.
Oh my god. Yeah. I always say this as well. Like the bar for a guy not saying something inappropriate. Like, you know, I'm always like, you know, this will go well if he doesn't say something inappropriate, right? But that's just such a high bar for a guy.
Yeah.
Like at some point they'll say something and you're like, can I live with this or not? Is this something that I find non-negotiable? Yeah. Like any trace of, for instance, like homophobia, transphobia, I'm like immediately like, oh, okay, done deal. You're out. You're gone. Yeah. And like any indications of like misogyny. Like I think even, you know, if I heard someone say, yeah, I like the way that Southern men use these kinds of terms, I try to like dig into that and be like, but why do you think that, or like where does that stem from? Is that some sort of like misogynist,
it's like, oh, you're trying to mask your, yeah, this whole pushing that you're a gentleman. I don't know, it's very strange.
Like a gentleman is one thing, right? Like I know some friends of mine get upset when they're walking on the street and a guy walks by the curb of the street, because that's a gentlemanly thing to do, right? To like expose yourself and not the woman.
American thing. Irish guys don't do that.
British guys do.
Oh,
that.
Do they? Yeah. I never heard of that till I came over here. I was like, yeah, all my Irish lads at home, or let me get knocked over.
No, it's in the UK guys are doing that as well. And I know some friends of mine that get so upset about that. They're like, you know, because they think that's misogynist. That's one of those things I'm like, I think I can live with that. Yeah. You know, it's like, it doesn't,
I want you to die first.
Yeah, do die first. I don't care.
Get in front of that. Get on the side of the car.
But it's more like, why does he think he has to do that? Is it just because he wants to be protective and like gentlemanly, or is it because he thinks that a woman can't take care of herself? Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like,
Well, you and know, that's what also men struggle with when it comes to the check too, because some of them probably aren't being cheap. They've probably just been shouted at by a girl who's like, I'm independent, I can fucking pay for myself. So they're kind of like, shit, I don't know what to do. So I have had guys tell me that, oh, well, if a woman doesn't put down her card, that's fine. I'm going to get it. But if she puts down her card, I don't want to insult her to think right. that I don't think she has money. So I'll, and it's so funny because then I've had guy friends be like, she didn't even take out her card. Like, I just wanted her to put her card down. And I'd be like, I've got this. Because Irish guys really appreciate when you put their card down. They'll never like, they'll be like, no, this is on me. But it's like, oh, that's so nice that she, and you'll do like a little fight about it. It'll be like, no, no, I got it. And the guy will be like, I got it. You can like get me another time. So I've had Irish guys be here like, why didn't she even put down her card? Like, that's so, like, what do you think? I made of money. And then, so it's hard. It's a hard world to navigate.
I'm usually like, if he puts down his card, I'm like, are you sure we can split it? And he'll go, no, I got this. And I'm like, all right,
that's a good way. Don't take it out, but just go, are you sure?
Are you sure? Yeah. Because if he's like, all right, let's put it. Yeah. Then, you know, also, I don't need to protect his ego, right? If he says, yeah, let's split it, I'm like, okay, this is what he wants to do. But
I'm
never seeing him again. Yeah, probably not. it's one of these things that make you feel like a really bad feminist.
I know. I would never. I think that we put these like labels, like, okay, feminist, you have to do this, or whatever, you have to do this. I'm a bunch of things.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I want my man to mind me and take care of me while also not being misogynist and also be proud that I'm out doing comedy. And, you know, obviously now being in a relationship, I don't expect Leland to pay for everything, but I love when he's like, I got this, I'm like, oh yeah. Still to this day, I'm like, hey, you got it, yeah, you want me to bend over here? Wait, I'm like, I don't know, that does sound like anti-feminist. But it's like, whatever, you know. I think like, I also, it's like, well, I also get up on stage and be like, that's crazy that we deleted this tampon, or that we're trying to get this tampon out of, like, I'm doing my whatever.
No, I think that's such a good point, to be like, it's not just a black and white, you know. We are also, you know, we're shaped by our environments, right? Mm-hmm. I come from a very super patriarchal background, very Middle Eastern, very much like, you know, the men pay. Dissociating from that, it's hard, right?
It's really hard. And Irish is the same,
too. My dad, my brothers will never let me pay for anything.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that because I'm like always poorer than they are. You know, I'm like, yes, please do pay for my dinner, and do, oh, you do want to pay? I'm always like, oh yeah, it's winter time, I need new boots, and you know, I'll just casually suggest to my dad that we walk through the mall, and then he buys them for me, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I? And I think this is something that the men in my family enjoy doing, like, this is something that they've taken on themselves.
They like being providers.
They like being providers, and that's the only role they've ever known.
Yeah.
And I think I've never had this feeling that they disrespect you by doing that. Like, they still acknowledge that you're like strong and independent and you're out there doing your own thing, but they just want to take care of you. I remember once I talked to my dad on the phone. He used to call me all the time and be like, so, do you need anything? I'd be like, no. And he'd be like, okay, bye. That was our conversation. And this one time he called me, and when I was a student, I used to go through a lot of like financial turmoil because I was always paying for myself since I was like 19. And I would often be like, could you pay my electricity bill? Because I literally don't have any money left over in my bank account. And he'd do. So at some point I started, you know, having more financial independence. And I remember at some point he called me and said, do you need anything? And that this has been like several months in a row. And I was like, no, I think I got this. And he was like, oh, I guess you don't need me anymore. And he was so hurt by that.
You're like, well, okay, buy me shoes.
All right, okay. Yeah. I do need things. I just don't want to be a bother, you know?
Yeah, I think that's great what you said about, and I think there's definitely a similarity with a lot of Irish too. I do feel like, you know, my dad will pick up the check, but he's not like disrespectful to my stepmom, or like, then they have other things where she's like, she'll like run and sneak and pay for it, like, so before he could even, but like, you could, they can like look after you in that sort of way, and that makes them happy and spend their money on you, but doesn't mean that they're gonna be like sexist. You can still be like,
yeah,
and I think that was a great point to make as well. Like, it's not all men who pay and pick up the check, or think that you're like not independent and can do it yourself either.
Right.
It just depends on how it's done. Like I dated a guy who would pay for everything, but he'd also be like, you're not stirring your honey incorrectly, or like criticizing me on my like telling me how to do my jokes, or telling me how to like dress, or telling me.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, that's also just controlling, but it's also not only controlling, but like he truly thought I was incapable of doing things, which is really offensive to someone who's like independent.
Absolutely.
So like there's different levels.
There's so many levels to it. Yeah. I'm trying to think of, I can remember any more icks.
My therapist said as well, women should always keep as much money in the bank for when, if the guy returns a dick, have your money, get ready to leave.
I mean, I don't know what a life where you can have money in the bank feels like, but sure.
Well, you are a neuroscientist. When you cure weed fucked up brains.
Sometime in the future.
Well, oh, you know, men in sandals used to give me the ick, but not anymore because I've grown up.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Ooh, I went through a period, this was in the UK, where men wearing hats gave me the ick. Yeah. Like baseball hats, so like, you know, like snapbacks or something like that, because I was always like, what's the utility of this? Yeah. This is, you're wearing a hat indoors, and it still kind of gives me the ick a little bit, because, you know, I know here, especially in the US, it's sort of like a fashion thing, but it's not really a thing in the UK. And I felt like when a guy turned up in like sweatpants and one of those hats, I always felt like that's no.
Yeah, or gray sweatpants.
Gray sweatpants.
You can see their penis, or you can see the
drops. That's why they wear it.
No, they give me the ick so much.
So much, yeah.
Or the beanie hats, those gave me the ick.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like there's things I've had icks that, God, Leland's in the room and he's going to hear this, but but that I've been like, oh, that gives me the ick, but I really like this person, so I'll just like tell them. So like, not this part, not with Leland, but that... a guy had like really long nails and I didn't want him to touch me with them because that gives me the ick because it's dirty, and he like made like a sexual thing, and I was like, yeah, like you'll have to cut your nails first because like long nails of men, like it's my biggest fucking turn off. But it's like, okay, well if they're nice and I can kind of say it to them and they don't take it as an ego and they just go cut their nails. But that was the guy with the socks thing. I had to tell him to cut his nails at the start.
This guy seems like a mess.
He's a mess. But like a very successful job, so I don't know what that was about. But with Leland, he had these like golf shoes, but they were just like runners, and they were like, they looked like white leather, but they weren't like Adidas. They looked like what a Connecticut guy would wear on a golf course, which also I don't know why, but in my head I associate sometimes like those type of shoes with like assault, and I don't know why I think about that, but you know when I see like boat shoes or whatever, I always picture those guys from like SVU, that's like that college guy who like puts something in the girl's drink. So I just get like, I know this is me going from A to Z, but just to explain my thought process. So I have such an ick off those shoes, boat shoes, and those type of like shoes that look like you'd wear on a golf course. I also just don't really like those type of guys, usually their personality. But so Leland, I kept going, you gotta get rid of those shoes, you gotta like I'm sure that's like a red flag to anyone else that this girl started dating's like, I don't like these shoes, you gotta get rid of these shoes. But in fairness, you've, you know, bought some nice Adidas then.
That's so funny. I tend to never tell people what I think about their outfits and shoes and stuff, but I always am very pedantic about what I like. And I find that so hard to not be like, yeah, I don't think you should be wearing this shirt again. Or like, interesting choice for an outfit. Like, I want to say those things and I'm thinking it in my mind, but I can never get myself to say it.
Well, there's three things about it. First thing, I mean, people should be able to wear whatever they want, but I really wanted to continue dating this man. So I was like, and then, so if you are going to say it, you can't say it like, interesting outfit, because it's like passive aggressive and it's mean and it'll make resentment in them. You gotta be like, I truly really can't be seen in public with you, or this or
that's harsh too.
Or okay, maybe more like, hey, this gives me association of like a certain type of guy, because I've also, especially with those boat shoes, I had to, when I was working nights in bartending, and they would grab your arse and you'd have their card, so they knew that they could do what they want to you, because, and it was only two females running the whole bar, like me and the other girl. And so when we get these Wall Street guys in, like, they were always so touchy-feely, they were so gross.
Ew.
And they're meant to come to the bar, but like they'd wave over with their card, and we were like, they had power over us, because we hadn't like because they still would have to tip or whatever. So it was always like this very uncomfortable. How about those guys wore those type of shoes? So my,
you should have just charged them for a bunch of other drinks.
I know. I'm sure the other girl, I'm so honest that she was badass. She'd be like shouting at them and stuff. But I was also like younger and easier and newer to the country and easier taken advantage of. But yeah, so that's the thing too. It's like, if you're like, look, this reminds me of like traumatic experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, but even if it's not traumatic.
I mean, like, Leland's probably listening and be like, well, you also didn't like my shirts or my pants. But it's like, but it's also like, I hate when you see, like, especially your partner, and it's like, you're so handsome, but you're like wearing the wrong size clothes, or like, oh, you know, this would look really good on you. And I used to make clothes for my Barbies.
Right.
And I have like a bit of a decor head. Like, I can't wait to change this apartment and make. But so I... And you know, you're also like an extension of me, and I'm not, if you could just wear clothes that are your size, or 'cause a lot of guys don't know until they get a girlfriend. Like my roommate was saying, like his ex-girlfriend like was like, oh, you should get this haircut, oh, this shirt would look great on you. And he was like, it was all such great tips I didn't know, and I appreciated it, thank the Lord. But as I'm saying it, I'm like, this sounds really bad, this is not putting me in a good light.
I'm sorry for bringing it up. I thought mine, like, this is what you're wearing.
I know, because we
are, you sure, are you sure about this outfit?
I mean it depends on their sense of humor.
Yeah, it does. But I also, you know, if you're like, you know, your shoes are kind of rapey, dude, like, I don't
I don't know, it's just hard. Yeah, I don't know. Does
that's not like, I can't say it, because there's no way of like saying that when you're still early on. I know. If you're like really solid, you can definitely say those things, right?
Yeah, but you get to solid if you're just like every day you're like, this fucking jacket again.
Imagine dumping someone because you're like, I can't look at this jacket and I can't tell him because his ego is so precious.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm like, if you want a date, you just gotta say it. But like Leland has said to me, never get bangs. I mean, he'd be with me, but
I feel like you'd be cute with bangs.
I know, but no, he hates bangs. They give him the ick.
Oh, it's the ick.
And maybe he had an experience with a woman who had bangs. I don't really know, but yeah, that's his ick. So it's like, yeah, cool, I won't get bangs. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there any?
I think arm hair for me is ick.
On men, underarm. You want them to shave it?
Yeah.
Oh, if they have a shaved underarm, that gives me the ick.
Is it? Like, oh, wow.
Trim it all you want, but I want to see. I like hairy men, though. I like hair in general.
Oh, okay. No, I think it's
you
want
to bare naked.
Yeah, Muslim. In Islam, you have to be like closely, like trimmed.
Yeah.
Like trimmed is fine.
Trimmed is fine,
like, but like very, very tightly, like a beard.
Really?
Yeah. Because just like long arm hairs.
The way you're doing it is if it's like a creature of the night. Like, it's going to crawl out of his arm at night.
Arm over you, like sweaty armpit and like hair.
I've never heard someone have the ick about that. That's so funny, which is great. You know what? Switch the men have been getting the ick about women having armpit hair. I'm glad that you're getting the ick.
Absolutely. And in Islam, it is for both genders.
Wow,
it's not a female only thing.
That's so interesting. I also feel like armpit hair, I don't have it because of course of society.
Right.
I mean, I would be embarrassed, and I hate that I'm like that. But it's armpit hair, and also my boyfriend doesn't like it. He doesn't care if I have leg hair or whatever, because there's loads of times where it's like, you can't fucking shave your hair all the time. But right, I do know, like, certain guys get the ick with the armpit hair. But any time I've let it grow in a little bit, I sweat less.
If you let it grow?
Just a little bit, yeah. Let's say it's
winter. I find the opposite.
Oh, I feel okay.
The moment I have a bit of hair, I feel like I start sweating.
I feel like when I shave it, I can feel, I guess it's like, yeah, it's interesting.
That's interesting. I think our bodies also get used to reacting in a specific way. I don't know. But I feel like if I have like even the slightest hair under my arm, I need so much deodorant.
Wow.
Yeah. Whereas if I don't, I actually don't need deodorant. Which is kind of weird.
So interesting.
But also, like, this is another double standard. That's such a double standard for guys to not shave their armpit hair, but then wanting a woman to do it.
Yeah, yeah,
right? It's such a double standard.
But I don't want them to shave their armpit hair.
But it's like, for Muslims, same thing with pubes. Both men and women have to be trimmed.
Yeah, but I mean, can it be trimmed or shaved all off?
Trimmed.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be, they say it can't be longer than a corn. What's not a corn? Corn. I'm sorry.
Like a sweet corn?
No, a wheat.
A wheat. Because I have trimmed, like I keep a trim, and I dated a Muslim guy and he was like, oh, yeah, it's fine that it's trimmed. But he brought it up so many times that I was like, I don't think this is fine.
I mean, that's just his personal preference, right?
It was just interesting but like, that, was like
religiously, oh, it's like,
is this a religious thing?
Religiously,
I thought you were saying like culturally.
It's like God has mandated.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant like
no, not your like personal Irish preference.
Prefer.
No. Because how can I say cultural? Right, Muslims are like, there are 1 billion Muslims in the world. Yeah, we're from like all different parts of the world. So this is like what God has said to humans. That's is that me. Like you know whatever you believe
said
in
about
but
your pubes.
That yeah that your pubes
where
have
is
to
this
be
written in the like in I the book
in maybe the main book or in like the other books
the little books
the book little books
because the book of pube.
No, so there's the Quran, right? And then there's some of the prophets' friends. I don't know, like, I don't know how to talk about this in, like, a non-Muslim way, you know? Like, they've had these additional books where they sort of write about what general practice should be like. And I think that would be in that, but I'm not sure.
I wonder if there's any... I've never heard of books about body hair for Catholicism. Yeah. I don't even
like,
know how to say that
cleanliness,
word.
Cleanliness, right? In Islam, cleanliness is such a thing. Like, how you have to wash 5 times a day with your, like, you know... hands, feet, nose, face,
yeah,
back of the ear, like arms, like you have to wash all of that
five times a day
after before you do your prayers.
Wow.
So it's like it's so focused on cleanliness and it's so like methodical about what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it makes sense that there's like a whole section on pubes.
Yeah. That's wild. I know,
but this is equal for men and women.
Yeah. At least it's both people.
Yeah.
And I know, and you know, my friends told me that as well. Like abortion is fine in the Muslim religion.
Yeah, if it's related to, it's not if it's just like you just don't want to have this kid, but it's more like there's a medical reason.
Pregnancy, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a medical reason. Then it's totally you can do that up to like I think. Second trimester.
Okay.
Yeah, in the first trimester, yeah.
Well, you said something when you were saying all about the, and I had my brain thinking, oh, yeah, the cleanliness thing. Yeah, I guess we're just so dirty. 5 times a day, fuck, that's a lot. And the praying 5 times a day, I think is always interesting because, you know, so many like, what's the word, atheists?
Mm.
Like some, like, what would you call people who don't have religion in America, like those Americans, like I guess
like atheists. Non-denominational
yeah.
people.
Okay. I feel like a lot of people that I know are like atheists actually meditate a couple of times a day to keep their thoughts, intrusive thoughts out. And it's interesting because I'm sure people who pray 5 times a day, it must be really nice to take that moment out of the day.
Absolutely.
Recenter yourself, do something on repetition. Yeah. And, you know, Catholics
and it's physical exercise.
Times.
It's physical exercise.
Because you're doing the...
Yeah,
oh,
you,
yeah.
And as someone who practices a lot of yoga now, I can attest that a lot of the movements are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Like every time I do... Every time I get really into yoga, I'm like, this is so funny. This is exactly what I used to do when I was doing prayers 5 times a day. I don't do those now, but I kind of find that the effect of it is exactly the same. You center yourself, you know, you know, you go quiet, you meditate. That's what you're doing. And it's physical exercise. And you do that 5 times a day. And even with like health experts are always like, you need to get moving like every few hours. And prayer does make you do that. The 5 times prayer thing, it does make you get up and like get moving.
Like a person who is Muslim in America, or sorry, I should say in New York, find not just the time during the day, and I think it is great and I'm sure you just make the time, but also to wash yourself 5 times. Can you kind of skip on that a little bit
if you haven't had released any body liquids?
Oh, sure, I wee all the time. Not that I'm planning to become Muslim, but...
But if, you know, let's... I have really good bladder control. Like, oh, it's
fucking
unreal.
Give it to me.
It's unreal. And I think it's, like, years of actually doing that. Like,
oh, really?
Being like, oh, I can't... Or, like, you know, lab work, you know, it keeps you there for like so many hours. So I just like, for some reason, have really good bladder control. But it would mean that I could go probably from first prayer to second prayer without needing to do the wash again.
Yeah.
But you do, like, it's not, I don't think it's hard to do the washing because, or I don't know, that's actually, it's a really good question because you're supposed to take your socks off, you know, shoes off, and go to the bathroom. And most bathrooms at workplaces will be communal, right? Mm-hmm. It would be like loads of like stalls, and unless there are private bathrooms, it would be difficult to do it. So I don't actually know how people navigate that.
Yeah, because I saw a guy around the corner here, and he had a stall selling stuff, but he had his he was putting out his mat to do his prayer.
Oh, okay.
And I recognized the mat because I was with Sabine when she was buying hers in Astoria.
Oh, I see.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh. But I didn't know about the cleaning, so I was just like wondering for that man. I wonder how he does that when he's just... But I'm sure he's probably just like, well, look, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it is like just a matter of like going into a bathroom and like cleaning your feet and
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, public bathroom.
Yeah. I don't think it's that... It's not... Once you're in it, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
You find ways of figuring it out. And... Yeah, you're just like really good at like not weeing or
yeah.
You know,
I think that's what people are missing now when they don't have religion. Like I think like when you think about Catholics, they would get up and pray in the morning, pray before dinner, and then pray in the evening. And obviously, I'm not saying be fucking serious Catholics. Like obviously, that brought so much fucking trauma to Ireland and everything. So I know that, but I am saying there's maybe something to take away from it. And if you are praying and going to church and you enjoy that, good for you too. Just want to make sure I'm not offending anybody here. But my point is like getting up in the morning and have that couple of minutes to yourself when you're sitting with your family around the dinner, having that couple of minutes of quiet, like that was lovely. I actually used to like that, just like zen before you would eat.
Yeah.
And then at night just checking in and being like, what's the crack? I went to church recently for a funeral. I was thinking, I was telling you this, and it's I don't think I said this on the podcast, but I said on the solo Patreon one. I find religion fascinating, and I find being an atheist fascinating, and I'm obsessed with being alive. I'm terrified of dying, but I'm also terrified of eternal life. So all the religions scare the shit out of me. But the option of nothing scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I think what makes life really precious is the idea that it probably just is. Or like when I got my appendix out, they put you out, and when I woke up, it was like there was nothing. And that was like, anyway, I think about this all the time. It's very scary.
Wow.
But religion is so great because if someone passes away, what a great thing to think that they're in this other place that you might see them one day. Do you know what I mean? It's just a nice, or whatever, deal with your morality.
Yeah.
My point is, what was my point? Oh, but so like for, you know, growing up in Ireland, you're told like there's Catholics and Protestants, and it's the fucking same religion bar, you know, a couple of little differences like divorce at the time before divorce came into Catholicism, whether Mary's a virgin. And so those are the main religions I kind of knew about growing up, really, to be honest, until more people are now moving into Ireland. And so that's, you know, but it was mainly coming over here and making new friends and learning like Tori's Jewish. I'd never actually met any Jewish people until I moved here, and learning about, you know, her culture or her whatever, her telling me stuff, and meeting you guys too. But I, sorry, this is a roundabout way to get to the story, but I'm at a Lutheran church for a funeral, and it's like very the same as a Catholic church. Yeah. Everything's the same. But then he goes, the priest goes, okay, before you take the bread, because we know that there's some non-Lutheran people here, you are able to come up and take the bread, and we want you to, if you believe that Jesus Christ was alive and God is their true God. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to be rude because I want them to see me go past, because it was like family members that I wanted to know I'm at the funeral. Hey, you know, you do the look and not seem disrespectful. But I was also like, I don't know what I believe.
Right. So then that's a lot.
It was a lot. It was really intense. So then I walked up and I took the bread, and we take the bread and put it straight in our mouth and swallow it. And then I moved to the side, and there's a woman holding a fucking thing of wine. And I'm like,
You're supposed to dip it in the wine, or what?
I was supposed to dip it in the wine. It's already gone. It's already in my digestive system. And so I just blessed her because I didn't know what to do. I just go, so I just like, I just like blessed at us. And then I look over, and like the like front row are like looking at me like I'm about 10 heads. And I'm like, I don't understand. So then I go down, and then I do the prayer. You know, the prayer is usually like, thank the Lord. I honestly can't even remember what the communion prayer is, but you say a prayer, like it's like a set prayer to thanks for eating the body of Christ. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's real. And if you are real, I'm sorry that I don't know. But I also feel very guilty now that I ate your bread. But, you know, so I'm having this fucking conversation with myself sitting down. But yeah, I found out afterwards you're meant to dip it in. Because apparently the difference between the main difference there with Lutheran and Catholic is they don't believe that it's the actual body of Christ, an actual blood of Christ. And you dip it in and you have it. And so in Ireland, only like people who are like gluten free would go up and have the wine, or old people. Like, other than that, you never, only the priest has the wine. But apparently we're meant to believe it's the real body and blood, which no one told me growing up. I always thought it's just bread. I thought it was so like a funny symbol, but okay. It's funny because that's
wait,
the difference.
So it's not symbolic? I always thought it was symbolic.
I always thought too, but they were telling me, they were like, no, Lutherans say it's just symbolic, and Catholics really believe, they're meant to really believe it's like, I don't know though, that seems like anti-Catholic propaganda.
Why would
I'm
you
like,
eat
what?
The
we
body
that,
of Jesus?
We know, like, it's the bread. What? I'm like, some wires got crossed here along the way.
It's almost like being like, yeah, you know, Catholics are stupid. They think this is the actual body of Jesus.
Yeah, they really believe that there's a ghost wandering around the church. It's just so interesting. It's one guy. He shows up in all the stories, shows up in your religion as well.
Right.
Yeah, he's not the main guy, but he's in there. He's big character. Lots of common teams going on between the two religions, right. And then as well, he's also in the Jewish religion. He shows up there
and
for a little
in Islam
bit.
Too.
That's why I said. That's why I said your religion.
Oh, in mine.
Yeah. For a second, I was like, what? I was like, what? What?
Oh, yeah. Do you have another one?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Because and it's just interesting that they're all very similar, but then all used against each other in certain ways.
It's like, so crazy.
Even the fucking Christians over here, and then all the very I never.
Yeah, in Denmark. So I grew up around. Obviously, Denmark is a Christian country, but it's very secular. And it's Protestant, Lutheran mainly, but I've never seen anyone go to, I've never known a single Danish person to go to church. Like, only they do their communion thing. They get loads of presents when they get confirmed. That was like a big reason why they do it.
Yeah.
So many of the kids I grew up with were like, yeah, I'm going to get so many presents, going to get confirmed. And I'd be like, oh, so you believe in God now? And they're like, no. But it was like a tradition,
yeah,
right? Oh my God. Okay, crazy thing. I actually got baptized.
Why did you get baptized?
Because, so my parents.
The school did it.
The church did it. When I was born, you used to take your newborn to church for name registration. And then obviously the church was really sly about it. They were like, yeah, let's put some holy water on this girl and let's bat. And my parents didn't know what that was. They're Muslim, right?
Yeah.
So it's fine. I can go, like, whoever's right. I mean,
you're covered now.
I'm covered, fully covered. I'm obviously not Christian, but you know, it's funny to think that I'm baptized.
Well, I'd be like kind of.
And it's kind of horrible.
Well, no, that's horrible. Yeah. That's like, I don't even know what the word for it, but that is like. There has to be a word that I'm not thinking of, but like forcing you into it. That's like I don't like that. And if roles were fucking reversed, do you know, like, imagine, I don't know what, if you guys have a baptized, but imagine if it was like a Danish family and they had to go in to get something from a mosque and then they came out and they're like, fuck, my baby's been.
You're actually Muslim now.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a word, right? It's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't change what you believe in, what you don't believe in. It's an identity thing as well. But, you know, I was raised Muslim, so it's only like years later, my mom told me about this thing that had happened. I was like, and it just sort of clocked that I had been baptized. And I was talking to her. I was like, do you know what that means in Christianity? And she didn't know that it was like a Christian ritual.
They literally just did like some witch thing on you. You know, and it's funny, like, it's hard not to put
like
the
fucking,
like,
immigrants.
And it's so traumatic. But it's funny, like, it's hard not to, even though if you don't believe in it anymore and you don't, and even you stepped away a bit from your religion, and obviously I never really believed in anything. I was kind of like, yeah, whatever people said. Like, honestly, if I'd been walked into a mosque as a kid, I'd probably be like, yeah, it's like, do you know, I'm just like, yeah, I always was like, it all sounds real to me, but also I believed in ghosts and aliens and shit, so like, and other dimensions, so I'm like, whatever. But I went on a tangent. I can't remember what I was gonna say. I do get that superstition that if I had a baby, I'm like, you know, I have that voice in the back of the head, like, maybe baptize it just in case. And not that I believe in the, but it's meant to protect against like the devil coming up. Mm. God, you'd hear so much shit about the devil. I remember to my grandmother saying, I don't believe in hell. And she was the only time I ever seen her get mad at me. My wow. grandmother who's dead, because she was like, don't say that. Like, the hell is real and the devil is real. And I was like, all right, I just didn't want to believe in it. That seems like a terrifying
something so
thing.
Terrifying. It's so traumatizing, right? The devil. So traumatizing as a concept when you're a child. The devil will come for you. Oh my God, my mom used to do that to me. Like, my parents really... My mom fucked me up in so many ways. But when I was a kid, she used to... She had two... She was working two jobs. Her and my dad were both working two jobs. So in the morning, they wouldn't have... I would be at home in the morning, like waking up really early, but they would come home really late from like work. So in the morning they would try to sleep in, but I was up at like 5 a.m. wanting to like watch television. This was before I started school, and they couldn't afford daycare. So I was just there in the morning, and my mom told me that I couldn't go into the living room in the morning before she woke up, because the devil would snatch me.
So the devil is in Muslim religion too.
Oh my God, yes. Where do you think we go?
I did not know that.
Yes, where do you think non-Muslims go?
They're sent back to be Catholics.
They all go to hell to hang out with
the
devil.
Wow, so there's a hell there as well, for fuck's sake.
Oh my God, all these religions are the same.
I know,
they're the exact same religion. They're just like, evolution of one religion.
Yeah,
it's just an evolution basically. But yeah, no, that was so fun. It was so traumatizing. I'd be like waking up in the morning and like sneak into the living room so that the devil wouldn't hear me.
And did your devil have hoofs and horns as well?
All of it. God. And fire and the fire tri- and the what's it called,
fork, I don't know, fork with three things. Big fork. It's scary fork.
The big scary fork.
Why did you go to? It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah. The thing, so with the, well, actually, like, no one told me this is what the devil looked like. It's just what I saw in cartoons, right? Oh. Like, so I was 5 years old. Four years old. And the reason my mom did that was because she was really afraid that we'd open the windows. We lived on the sixth story.
Yeah, and floor, fall out.
And like fall out. And there was one point when I was actually like a year and a half where I almost fell out.
Yeah.
And they like caught me. Like, yeah. How crazy is that?
No. Oh, you almost fell out and they caught you.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's a similar thing happened to me on a roller coaster.
Really?
When I was three, my dad brought me on. But now my grandmother tells a story. I don't know if my dad might deny it now, but he caught me and held me because I slipped underneath the bar. But he held me the whole time.
And this is what they say, like, my uncle grabbed me by my foot before,
I knew
like,
we were so similar. I feel sorry for parents sometimes that they feel like they have to be like, and the devil will get you, instead of being like, because you're old enough to watch cartoons, right? You know, you fell out there before, just don't climb up on the window again.
Right, like, no trust.
That's like the obvious.
Right.
Or just it's off limits.
Yeah,
but I guess because kids are bold,
my,
you gotta
mom
scare them
had so much anxiety.
Not that you gotta scare them, but you know, that's what parents feel.
No, that's true. Like, but she had like, I mean, even though I thought the devil was coming to the living room, I still sneaked into the living room to watch.
Like, I'll hear
and
his
like,
hoops.
Yeah, like I was just going in and like sneaking in and putting the volume really low so that the devil or my mom couldn't hear me.
We should wrap this up if we want to. Do we have time to get dumplings? But we should wrap this up anyway.
Yeah.
Tell the audience or future audience what your Instagram handle is and whatever you want.
My Instagram handle is jansudisdat. It's spelled CanSUDisdat. Yeah. And I'm around New York producing Laugh for Change shows for charity and Fuck It Up shows, which centers and celebrates women and non-binary people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two different productions, and if they follow me, they can find out.
Yeah. Okay. Love yous all. Go to the Patreon. Video will be there. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.